Part 1. Beginning.
What was?
Today, when I tell people that I took medicine every single day for almost a decade without ever once wondering why, they sometimes look at me like I have three heads, or maybe like I'm the world's biggest idiot. I can see their point, but from my earliest memories, the medicine has just been a part of my life. There I am, as a very young child, scrambling up onto the kitchen counter, folding my legs, crisscross applesauce, and waiting patiently. And there is my mother, twisting the child safety lid off a white plastic jar, scooping a heap of powder and stirring it, still lumpy, into a plastic sippy cup filled with milk. She places the lid on the cup and hands it to me. I make a face and begin to drink. The taste is awful. I call this drink my yucky. Still, I'm a dutiful child. I drink it all. I would have every time, even if my mother hadn't been watching me closely, her eyes focused on this ritual as if my life depended on it. It did, of course, although I didn't know that yet. Other times, people ask about my hospital visits. There had to have been so many. Did I really think that was normal? The short answer is yes, I did. Not only that, I liked it. The Riley Hospital for Children is located in downtown Indianapolis. Its vast modern architecture and the hustle and bustle of the city around it seem such an exciting contrast to our cozy one-story ranch home with its tidy patch of cut grass. Inside the hospital entrance, I looked up. All around the atrium, I would see enormous teddy bears perched on beams high overhead, their legs dangling. I'd pass a shiny carousel horse surrounded by pennies. Each time, my mother and I both made wishes and tossed our own coins toward the animal. I'd wish for dolls and dresses, for trips to the water park, for cupcakes and Christmas. My mother made her wish silently. When I asked what she wished for, she never told me. Instead, she would simply answer, "Same as last time, pumpkin." She'd hug me close then and finish, "Same as every time." We'd step into the glass elevators, real glass elevators, just like Willy Wonka's, and rise to the third floor. Waiting in the doctor's office, I could never keep myself from touching the medical equipment. I squeezed the rubber blood pressure pump, slipped the plastic caps on and off of the otoscope, pulled down on the rubbery black coils that connected these tools to the wall. "Stop messing with the doctor's stuff," my mom would always try to scold me, unable to completely hide the hint of a smile on her face. "She's going to get mad at you, Paige." But when Dr. Cox at last breezed into the room in her funky shoes and chunky jewelry, she was never angry. Instead, she greeted me cheerfully. "Paige, it's good to see you." Her flowing, loose-fitting clothes peeked out from beneath her lab coat. Her stethoscope hung confidently around her neck. I love seeing her. One day, I plan to be her. "I'm going to have your job when I grow up," I would announce proudly at my visits. "I know you will," Dr. Cox would smile back, brushing a streak of blonde hair from her eyes and holding out a tongue depressor. She always took me seriously, not the way some grown-ups treat kids. She would press the wooden depressor on my tongue. "Now say ah." I told Dr. Cox everything, about school and sleepovers with my friends, that I swam like a mermaid, which I knew because my mother said it was true. I told her I loved karaoke and that I could jump high as the birds on my trampoline. She listened and laughed, complimented my sparkly nails. She asked about my vacations, teachers, classmates. I may have been her patient, just a young child, but Dr. Cox treated me like a real person, someone she genuinely liked. She wasn't the only one. The nurses in the emergency room knew me by name, remembered details about both my health history and my life outside the hospital. They asked me about books I was reading. They cheered when I told them I'd learned to ride a bike. The lab technicians knew me too. They asked me about school as they pricked my skin, distracting me by allowing me to hold the tubes that were filling up with my blood. Being at a hospital so regularly, so young, sounds awful to folks who have no experience inside a place like Riley. But the truth is, I can think of far worse fates than to have a group of people this warm, this kind, be a part of your life from the start. And when these things, the medicine, the hospital visits, become part of your routine before you even form your first memory, before you write your name for the first time, before you can skip or turn a somersault, or even brush your teeth without assistance, the whole thing becomes a bit like the sun rising.